Welcome back into Sports Talk. A massive Sweet 16 in Sacramento coming up 9 p.m. this evening. The LSU women's basketball team taking on Duke to help us break things down. Reed Darcy of NOLA.com, The Advocate, and Times-Picayune joining us here on WWL. Reed, appreciate the time, man. How are things out there in California?
Pretty nice. Sacramento is a pretty nice city. The weather's perfect, and downtown is pretty walkable. You know, I'm not staying too far from the arena, so I'm really liking it so far.
Looking at this matchup against the Blue Devils for the Lady Tigers, the Blue Devil squad, since that loss to the Tigers, they've gone 23-2. From what you've seen at practice or the locker room, how is Kim Mulkey emphasizing the December film versus treating this game, or is it entirely different?
They're looking at the film for sure. You know, they pulled it up and they looked at some of the things that went wrong in the first half of that game and how they fixed it. But I'm not sure that they're putting too much stock into that matchup. You know, it was such a long time ago, and I think both teams have changed quite a bit since then. You know, you pointed out that Duke has won 23 of his last 25 games. I think it's basically a completely different team now. You know, they still run the same stuff. They just executed a lot better. And so they're definitely a much better version of themselves than they were when these two teams met back in December. But, you know, if you ask Kim Mulkey, she'll say LSU's better too. So, you know, I think they feel confident about their chances of winning if they can communicate well on the defensive end of the floor, and if they can, their rotations on that side of things can be pretty sharp. It's really going to come down to how well they defend Duke's half-court actions, I think.
Yeah, the NCAA, the women's tournament is always so tough to gauge, because you go from, you know, the first two rounds, I think they won by like 58 and 54 points. It's really tough to pull a ton from those games because it was so lopsided. But what do you see as kind of the keys for LSU to, you know, keep that offensive surge going? Because I think that's going to be the story. Can you put up points? Can you outscore Duke? Because they kind of come in waves with the size and the shooting.
Yeah, 100%. They can't be their best offensive selves without being their best defensive selves first. You know, when they're at their best, they're turning defense into offense. They're forcing misses, they're grabbing rebounds, and they're getting out of transition and running. You know, and every time they've scored 100-plus points this season, it's been 16 times. Kind of hard to believe, but every time they've done that, they've also played really, really well on the defensive end of the floor. It's really their bread and butter. You know, if they're not getting stops, if they're not getting rebounds, then they have trouble kick-starting that transition offense, which is where they're at their best and where they're most dangerous. So every time you turn on one of these games, one of these Kim Mulkey teams, LSU teams in the tournament, you know, the first place you should look is how well are they defending and how well are they rebounding? Because I think that both of those things can give you a pretty big clue early on to how things will go for LSU in that particular game.
Reed, I should have asked you this from the jump, but are there any injury or lineup updates that we should know about going into this matchup, or is everyone pretty healthy?
Everyone's pretty healthy. There is one injury, the freshman point guard named Divine Bird. She has a concussion that she's dealing with. She did not make the trip to Sacramento, but we weren't expecting her to be in the rotation anyway. So all of Kim Mulkey's regular rotation players are healthy.
And we saw Mikaeli Williams drop 24 points the last round. You think like she's going to be that X factor tonight versus this Blue Devil squad?
Yeah, she will be very, very important. I think because if you look at Duke, you know, Duke likes to play slow. They like to, you know, run their half-court sets, and a lot of them kind of take some time to develop. They like to use a large chunk of the shot clock to really run their offense. And so in the event that, you know, maybe LSU is kind of having trouble handling that and having trouble forcing misses, then Duke can really dictate the pace of the game and turn it into a bit of a slower contest. And if that's the case, then LSU will really need Mikaela to step up and run his half-court offense. That's kind of where it's turned when things have slowed down for them this season and when things have gotten tough. Mikaela's just so good at operating the offense, you know, getting to her spots, setting up her teammates, and making things run, you know, even when they're going against some really good, tall, long defensive teams like Duke. But for me, you know, I think the biggest X factor is probably Mileja Fulwiley. She has been all season. She comes off the bench and usually gives LSU a spark. She has been pretty quiet in the first couple tournament games, but LSU hasn't really needed her to step up and score. I think they absolutely will at some point this weekend if they want to get to the Final Four, because she's just that dangerous. She can come in and change the complexion of a game. And, you know, you saw that in the first Duke matchup. I think you might see it at some point again this weekend.
You know, Flauje Johnson, I feel like we kind of, she's been there for so long and she's been so consistent for so long that I feel like we kind of take for granted the impact that she's had on that program. I'm just curious, like, where do you kind of see her career kind of landing in the grander scheme, and what would it mean for her to not only win today, but to, you know, make another Final Four, to win another championship with her kind of at the top? And what do you know about Flauje in this run?
Yeah, it would be huge for her. I remember last year after they lost to UCLA in the Elite Eight up in Spokane, I was in the locker room after the game, and a couple of us were talking to Flauje, and she said that she wanted a championship of her own. She wanted her own national championship. And, you know, she won that title as a freshman, and she was a big part of that team. Don't get me wrong. She was an every night starter for that LSU team. But, you know, that title was really driven by Angel Reese and Alexis Morris and some of the other veterans on that team, like LaDasia Williams. If LSU does get to the Final Four, if they do get to the national championship game, this one will be Flauje and Mikayla Williams. It will be because they brought LSU there. So in terms of just the opportunity for Flauje, you know, she's in the unique spot of having an opportunity to bookend her career with national titles. I can't think of any other, there is no other player in LSU history who's had that opportunity. And I think she wants to savor it, really make it count and go out with a bang, because she really means a lot to LSU, and LSU really means a lot to her. I'd imagine one day, at some point later on, we'll probably see her number up in the rafters and in the PMAC or whatever, or that new arena whenever LSU gets around to building it.
We're just counting down now to this tip-off, 9 o'clock local time here. What are, like, one or two things that you think we should be watching for early on in this game that could decide the whole night?
Well, yeah, watch to see, you know, who LSU starts in the front court. You know, Kim Mulkey has kind of been, you know, kind of interchangeable with who she starts in the front court. In the first two games of the tournament, it was Zakiya Johnson, the freshman forward, and Kate Koval, the sophomore transfer from Notre Dame. I'd probably expect that to continue because Kate Koval is the tallest player on the team, and then she can really give them a size advantage on the glass to really, you know, grab the rebounds they need to get out and run. But, you know, also, I think LSU has a good chance to go small here. You know, you could see a situation where they play their four top guards and then one of their bigs. And those lineups have been dangerous at times, but they need to defend and rebound. So if LSU can put that group on the floor when it's out there, just watch to make sure that they can defend and rebound, because that's really the key to unlocking the most dangerous version of that group. And LSU as a whole, it really starts on the defensive end of the floor, and everything follows after that. So that's the first place your eyes should go when you turn on the game tonight.
Yeah, Reed, my last question, and I know Kim was quick to shut it down, and I'm focused on my team, but I'm curious, you know, what are your thoughts on the Will Wade hire? And you know, it has to resonate a little bit. It's such a massive news story. Is there some buzz even on that side, or what are your thoughts?
No one's really, I mean, there's buzz amongst us and on all the reports, of course. Right. We were talking about it yesterday. It's hard not to, you know. It's pretty fascinating, man. Like, just a fascinating move. I was not expecting it. You know, I knew it was a possibility, but I guess I still had my mind stuck in the old ways of thinking that NC State is kind of a better job,
right,
better men's basketball job than LSU. But if LSU is willing to commit the resources to Will Wade that he needs to win, then there's nothing that says that NC State's a better job than LSU, and that certainly seems like it's the case here. You know, Kim Mulkey didn't want to talk about it, though, and so you can take that for what you will. I'm not sure how she feels about it. You know, I do think that there's plenty of room for them, and then for Lane Kiffin and for Jay Johnson and for even like gymnastics and then that program. There's plenty of room for all these programs to coexist and win championships and be the best versions of themselves. But, you know, these are all competitors, and all these coaches are going to be, I suppose, fighting over some of the same revenue sharing resources and some of the same, you know, donor support. So yeah, could get kind of interesting to see how all of that shakes out. But I don't think it particularly affects the LSU's women's basketball program, whether the men's program is good or not. I think LSU fans are more than happy to support both and help both succeed and see both see successful. And I think that's probably what you'll see moving forward.
Reed, always great stuff from you. Appreciate the time, man. And how confident are you the Lady Tigers can pull this off tonight, advance to the Elite Eight? I think they're 9.5-point favorites right now.
Yeah, I'm not a betting man, but I say LSU covers that. I say LSU covers that spread and makes it to Sunday in the Elite Eight and see what they can do against UCLA.
Nice, love to hear it, Reed. Thank you so much for the time, man.
Thank you all. Have a good one.
Thanks, Reed.
Reed Darcy, LSU women's basketball beat reporter for The Advocate and Times-Picayune. That college basketball update brought to you by Kia of Covington, Louisiana's number one volume dealership. And yeah, you brought it up at the end with Will Wade, Jeff. I hope this time next year we're talking about the Tigers at least just making the tournament.
Yeah, you know, most of the time, and here's the thing, like, say what you want about the departure from NC State and the morality of taking a job and committing to that school and then leaving the way he did. Will Wade's a good basketball coach. Like full stop. Like, Will Wade is good basketball coach. And, you know, even the players he got in trouble for recruiting and whatever, like, you look at those, like, the Javonte Smarts of the world, the Tremont Waters, the Emmett Williams. Naz Reid is the only player from that group that's actually done anything in the NBA. Tremont had a little while with the Celtics, but he's been mostly overseas. He coached that group to a Final Four caliber situation. It was so well coached that Tony Benford, who probably couldn't coach his way out of a paper bag at the end of the day, took that team to the Sweet 16, right, as a 3 seed. Like, that was a good basketball team. It was a well coached basketball team. The success at McNeese, you know, he made the first four in his first year at NC State. Like, there's something to be said for that. It's tough to win in year one, regardless. So I don't think it's going to take him long. I really don't. I think he's a very good coach, and we get lost in the personality, and people have strong feelings about Will Wade as a person.
Well, I feel like Louisiana loves the personality, obviously, since he's coming back.
Yeah, right. Now that he's here, yeah, they love him. He came back with NC State.
Even before,
I don't think anybody
wanted to see him leave.
No, and here's the thing. Usually when guys get fired for off-the-court stuff, off-the-field stuff, it's usually for a good reason. In this case, he got railroaded for doing something that you now employ a GM full-time to do exactly what he was doing. He just didn't understand that you got to have a guy to do that. Like, he didn't get fired for doing anything no one else was doing. He got fired for being bad at it. He got fired for not understanding that, no, Will, you don't make that call. And this was at that point. Now he can make as many calls as he wants. I'm excited. I was always really upset. Like, I kind of looked at it always as LSU firing Will Wade would have been equivalent to the Saints firing Sean Payton in 2012.
Wow.
For something that all of us kind of knew was like, this is commonplace in the NFL. Yeah. He's getting railroaded, but we don't have to commit to that railroad. We can stand by the guy. He just didn't have support within the organization, right? And that's why Scott Woodward is gone, right? Like, if this had happened last year, it would have just been...
Woodward's out, Wade's back.
Right. And I think those two dots are connected. If this had happened last year, like it probably should have, then we would not be having this conversation about the morality of ditching NC State. Hey, we're here now. I'm excited. I like Will.
Yeah, and unfortunate for a guy like Matt McMahon. We all know he's a nice guy, but just couldn't get the job done when it came in the win column.
Yeah, you can be the nicest guy in the world. If you don't win games, I don't care. Get out of here. And they've just been irrelevant. They've been completely irrelevant in the SEC. They've won three or fewer games in three of his four seasons. That's all equivalent to you get fired. The only crazy thing about it is, how does he have an $8 million buyout? Like, who negotiated that contract?
Because of the situation LSU was in after Will Wade and the sanctions.
I guess so. I didn't know he was that in demand of a coach, so you were going to give him that sweetheart of a deal. He was here 4 years. It's not like they fired him in year two, and he's still got an $8 million buyout in that contract. So I gotta ask who negotiated that sucker. But yeah, no, they made the right call at the end of the day. I always thought like this would have made sense last year. I didn't think that they were going to be able to pull it off this year, but they did. And
right, you hear the rumblings, you see it here and there on social media. I didn't think they were going to be able to pull this off either, honestly, just because of how much money's involved.
The money was never the issue for me. It was, I didn't think Will Wade was that cold and would just leave NC State high and dry. I didn't think he would have done that.
Well, see, what amazed me to me when his statement that came out on
social... Oh, you mean the ChatGPT statement he put out?
Well, it's saying that, you know, calling Louisiana home.
Yeah, yeah.
That says a lot to
that
me.
That was strange to me, too. But once someone told me that, like, you can always tell AI writing by the overuse of M dashes, that's all I can see now.
M dashes.
Yeah, just the dashes. It's an AI thing. Like he had AI write a statement. I mean, that's my assumption, but you
the
can usually tell.
The machines are taking over.
You can usually tell, and a lot of people are doing that, so it's not on him. But yeah, it is weird to but I do think like he kind of feels like this is where he was supposed to be, and losing that job was unfair, right? Like he was never supposed to leave LSU. He wasn't at LSU for reasons that were stupid. And, you know, like he said, he just has to follow some more rules this time.
That was fantastic last night when Baton Rouge WBRZ caught up with him outside LSU's facility there. And he's like, no, I can't talk yet.
Well, and I also think the language is important there, because he didn't say I want to follow all the rules. He just said I want to follow more rules. There's some of them. Okay, we'll move on.